I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us bow in prayer together. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you are our Father. You are also the Creator of the universe. You are also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, when his earthly ministry was finished, promised to send us the Holy Spirit. And you, O God, are the Holy Spirit, who lives and moves and works among us. Whether we are realizing it or whether we are not, your Holy Spirit is that which keeps your world together through the power of love and respect and the joy of salvation. Thank you, O God, for being our God. And thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus, your Son, to the earth to show us how to live and to let us believe on him so that we can live forever. We confess, however, O Lord, that we have not lived up to your expectations. We haven't lived up to our own expectations, O God. So here we are. We've come apart on this beautiful day that you have created. We've come apart to worship you in spirit and in truth. And at this time, We simply confess our shortcomings. We acknowledge our sins, and we lift them to you silently as we pray individually, quietly. Hear our prayers of confession, O Lord. Help us repent from them. Help us to accept the free gift of forgiveness for our sins, even as we confess them to you. O God, hear also our prayers of intercession. We pray for the sick. The sick in this church as well as our community. We pray for our shut-ins who simply do not get out as they used to. We pray for those who are lonely, whether they are shut in or ill, or whether they are sitting here in the pews today. We pray for all who are lonely. For we know, O Lord, that even in a crowd, loneliness creeps upon us from time to time. We pray, O Lord, for Mother's Day celebrations everywhere, including in our congregation here. Thank you for our moms. Thank you for all we remember that they have shared with us. And thank you for the chance each year, especially, to lift our mothers up in thanksgiving and in remembrance, and let us all remember that if possible, we are to contact them today. We should have sent already greetings by way of flowers or invitations to eat out today, and in all other ways to recognize our mothers. But yet, if we've forgotten, may you remind us before the day is out that we are to say thank you to our moms. Many of us, O Lord, are here whose moms are with you and are no longer in this realm. And what we have are memories, memories of when our mothers were with us. So let us remember those times of joy and celebration, and let us be thankful to you and to them for letting our moms come our way for a time. Heavenly Father, we expand our gaze and prayers of intercession to include all other cares and concerns of our area and certainly of the world. We pray for those persons who are running for elected office, whether the highest office in the land or the most local office in the counties. We pray for all who wish to share their time and their talents with the public. May the public recognize the opportunities we have here in America, and let us recognize that we need to exercise our privilege of voting. And when the time comes, let us be sure and say, thank you, O Lord, for the joys of being part of a democratic republic, of being part of this country where we do indeed have a say in who governs us. Now, all these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. At this time, I would like for the boys and girls to come forward. Would you come? I'm certainly glad to see the both of you. Come on over here and sit by me. I think of you too. Yes, indeed. Well, what is this special day today, you two? What is today? Mother's Day, that is absolutely right. Now, I want all of you ladies who are mothers, would you raise your hand? Look at them out there. How about that? Now, Mother's Day started a long time ago. And this lady by the name of Anna Jarvis loved her mother so much, appreciated what she did so much that she thought, you know, everybody ought to say thank you to their mothers. So what she did was have a get-together in a Methodist church in West Virginia. Yeah. And it exploded all over the country. By 1920, the President of the United States said the second Sunday of May is Mother's Day. Furthermore, this Mrs. Jarvis, she had the idea that if your mother is still alive, you're to wear red. Do we have anybody with red flowers on? But if your mother's deceased, you're to wear white. Guess what? Now that is a custom which has gone, hasn't it? I'm kind of sad about that, aren't you? A lot of our customs pass by the wayside. That's one of them. But we have a custom here at Rockwood. And I've got work for you good people to do. Look what I have. And we want all the ladies, regardless of whether they're mothers or not, to have a Hershey's milk chocolate bar. You have to give these away, you two, okay? But I'll tell you what, I have a whole bag full. Come and see me after worship, okay? Now, you want to get the bag now, don't you? That'll work, no. Oh, you like chocolate. Okay, I need to give these to you, and I want you to give one to every lady that you see on this side. Now, would you take these and give one to all the ladies over here? Over there. Ladies, raise your hand. Abel. Help him out. Now, gentlemen, I've already lobbied for our day in June, okay? So we will not give up yet. Have some more, okay? They've had some. Go on down, that's right. Every lady have one? Up in the choir. Don't you worry, I'll give them to you. Oops, sorry. Everybody got one? Sorry, Larry. Have we finished? Have all the ladies chocolate bar? Yes. Well, let's have a prayer now, okay? That's all right. That's okay. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, O Lord, for gestures of love and appreciation. Thank you for our time of recognition in this hour of worship. Bless us all, especially our moms. Amen. The scripture lesson for this morning is found in 2 Samuel, Chapter number 24, verses 10 through 17. Let us hear the word of the Lord. But afterward, David was stricken to the heart because he had numbered the people. David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I've done. But now, O Lord, I pray you, take away the guilt of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. When David rose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say to David, Thus says the Lord, three things I offer you, choose one of them, and I will do it to you. So Gad came to David and told him. He asked him, Shall 3 years of famine come to you on your land? Or will you flee 3 months before your foes while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days pestilence in your land? Now consider and decide what answer I shall return to the one who sent me. Then David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of God, for his mercy is great, but let me not fall into human hands. So the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel from that morning until the appointed time, and 70,000 of the people died from Dan to Beersheba. But when the angel stretched out his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented concerning the evil and said to the angel who was bringing destruction among the people, It is enough. Now stay your hand. The angel of the Lord was then by the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. When David saw the angel who was destroying the people, he said to the Lord, I alone have sinned, and I alone have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What a scripture lesson for Mother's Day. That's terrible, isn't it? Wow, to think of a plague coming, to think of what David did in numbering the people. When it's Mother's Day, Bill, you don't get it, do you? But on the other hand, let's think about our mothers a moment. Let's think about Anna Jarvis way back just after the Civil War, when war and pestilence had ripped through the land, where people were having it very, very difficult. In the Second World War, one out of every 16 families had someone serve in the armed services. In the Civil War, however, one out of every 4 families had someone serve in that war. So what we have now is a time when pestilence, ripping apart, had come. Anna Jarvis thought about her mama. Anna Jarvis thought about mothers everywhere who lost sons, whose families were torn, and she wanted to remember her mama. Remembering mother, what is your first memory of your mother? My first memory was Mom reading us kids Egger Meyer's Bible stories. And she began to show us the stories of the Bible, where we were beginning to get this business of right and wrong. So this is how this particular sermon fits into Mother's Day. Our mothers gave us life, along with our dads. Our mothers also tutored us with what is right and what is wrong. And in this particular scripture, contrived as it may seem for this day, we have a beautiful example of what happens when we didn't listen to our mama and we sin. We're picking up with Wesley's basic beliefs. Our founder, John Wesley, he lived almost the entire 18th century in England and is responsible, along with his brother Charles, for a spiritual revolution in England, which saved that country from the throes of the French Revolution, which was bloodletting to the max with the guillotine and all of that. So the spiritual revolution in England, the Wesley brothers, we are a spinoff from that here in America and in United Methodism in particular. So with my last sermons with you, I wanted to share our basic Wesleyan beliefs. Last Sunday, we talked about Wesley's understanding of hell. Hell is absence of God, absence from God. If we are not with God, we are living in hell. And there are lots of different stages, you might say, but guilt and the guilty conscience, that can be hell. How many of us waller in our beds at night thinking about what we've gotten into, or what someone else has gotten into, or thinking about what we did or didn't do? That is a double first cousin of hell, of the eternity where we simply are in torment and away from God. Today, we're going to consider sin. What is it? And in the context of Mama teaching us about right and wrong, we're going to be looking at anything that keeps us from God's blessedness. How is it with your soul today? Are you right with God? These are early questions the Wesleyans would ask each other. My granddaddy lived along with my grandmother, but they were both reared in Cornwall in England. Now, that's that county that juts out like this toward New York. And my people had the last dairy farm before you get into the Atlantic Ocean and swim for New York, if you get my drift. I mean, we are way far to the west of England. Wesley went to Cornwall a number of times. As a matter of fact, the founder of the Salvation Army, who was a Methodist, but left Methodism because we were not socially conscious enough in our preaching and in our church work. William Booth was his name. He preached to my granddaddy, and his father was converted under the preaching of General William Booth. So Methodism in Cornwall, especially with my family, is very, very strong in our tradition. So I got an early and often dose of sin and what it's all about from my mama. Just as hell is absence from God, anything that keeps us from God's blessedness is called sin. Now, if you start from the very first verse of chapter 24 of 2 Samuel, you'll find something very interesting going on. God was not liking what the children of Israel were doing. So God, in order to get back at them, decided he would suggest to David a sociological project. David, yes, Lord. How about having a census for all the people of Israel and all the people of Judah. Have all of them, now this is in the first part of chapter 24, count them all. Well, from earliest times, God did not like a census for whatever reason. This was opposed to his basic nature and his basic understanding of political governance. So David sets out to count them. And there's a huge total of people in both Israel and in Judah. But then David starts to have a guilty conscience. And he recognizes that God himself has incited him to do something which David thought was not right and not God's will, but David did it anyway. Now notice this tension inside of David. Have you ever done something you knew wasn't right, but you did it anyway? Now, I have quit preaching and gone to meddling, because I can tell from some of your faces that all of us from time to time have done things we knew was not right, but we did it anyway. Now, this is the quandary that David is in. He was inspired by the Lord. Notice God is using David as God's instrument to punish the children of Israel because they did what was wrong in the first place. So David is the instrument, but yet David being the instrument is feeling badly after the fact. So now he's repenting. He talks to his preacher, a man by the name of Gad. I've sinned. What do I need to do to make it right? Gad talks to God. Well, I'll give you three choices. Now, these are wonderful choices, people. Get this. 3 years of famine for the land. That'll punish the people. 3 months of you being pursued by your foes. In other words, you can take the place of the children of Israel and we'll chase you, David. The very instrument God inspired to do God's punishing work is now going to be punished. Or thirdly, 3 days of pestilence from the Lord. Now these are David's choices. Which one would you choose? I wouldn't want that kind of choice. But yet we are given choices daily because we sin even though we know we're not supposed to be doing that. And we will pay. One of the great natures of sin is there is no such thing as sin in isolation. Every sin has fallout. Every sin causes someone, including the sinner, to pay. We do not sin in isolation. David said, I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is great. But let me not fall into human hands. Now, here's something we need to remember about sin. When we are convicted of sin, doing that which is wrong, even though we might be incited to be God's instrument to punish other people, turn back to God because God's mercy as well as his justice are fully operative. Job, when he was allowed to be tortured by Satan, when Satan and God had a bet, a divine wager, have you tried my servant Job? You can't get him to sin, Satan. Well, I will absolutely punish him in every way imaginable. Took away his family and then made him very, very ill. His wonderful wife said, what'd you do, Job? You know you did something. Just curse God and die and get on out of my way. Wasn't that lovely support? Wow. Some people can pick them, can't we? Not much of a wife. But what Job did say was, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand. So even though God turned Satan loose on Job, Job appealed to God for redemption. Let's keep that in mind. Many of us do not recognize that God has multiple facets of God's personality, just like you and I have multiple facets of our own personality. God can be angry. God can be very blessed and happy. God can test us. That's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation. If God didn't lead us into temptation, why are we praying for him not to? You follow me? So here we are, like David of old, caught in a world that has all kinds of stimuli, many of which can cause us to sin. When we find we are in the state of sin, repent, turn to God. Ask for God for ways out. We won't get out smelling like a rose. There are thorns on that rose bush. And always remember, we and someone else likely will pay for the sins we're in the middle of. That is simply an axiom. So God gave David choices. God chose David to be the instrument of punishment. Now gives him choices as to what are you going to take. You knew that I didn't want it, but you did it anyway because I got you to do it. Wow. John Wesley saw the issue. John Wesley was intrigued by the business of sin. One of his greatest works has to do with the original sin. Now, the original sin is the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You remember the story of the serpent that was talking and was walking around, not slithering in the grass, and tempted Eve to eat from the tree that she knew better to eat from. Inside Eve's mind, she hears God say, don't eat from the fruit of that tree. Inside her mind, she hears the snake say, you're not going to die. God knows you're not going to die. Here, eat it anyway. And so Eve made the wrong choice. Gave it to Adam, and you know the rest of the story. That was the original sin. John Wesley chose this New Testament scripture to illustrate the original sin as it's applied to each one of our lives. Jot this down if you want it to reference 1 John, not the Gospel of John. 1 John 2, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Here is Wesley's illustration of original sin. Do not love the world or the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world. For all that is in the world, one, the desire of the flesh, two, the desire of the eyes, three, the pride in riches, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires are passing away, but those who do the will of the God live forever. In this verse, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, in these verses, Wesley said, watch out for the idolatry of sense, meaning those things that we sense. I'm hungry. Do I have a salad? Or do I have a steak and potatoes with chess pie at the end of the meal, a la mode? You see, the senses we get into, the choices, and the senses say that my stomach is hungry and I will sleep better after my meal if I really stack it on. That is the idolatry of the flesh, of the senses that we have simply because we are sensible people. Secondly, is the idolatry of pride. Here occurs what we want others to think about us, how we posture ourselves with our workers, or at church, or when we play a sport, or when we laugh. How do we posture ourselves? What do we want people to see when they look at us? This includes the clothes that we wear. What clothes do I want to put on when I'm going here, there, or yonder? It's so interesting anymore because we live in a culture where everybody seems to want to dress down. Have you noticed that? Everybody dresses down. It's Dress Down Friday. My clergy staff wanted to dress down on Friday at Church Street. And I said, no. You need to look your very best every day. Does God not work on Friday? Does God want you to be slouchy on Friday? Why not Thursday? Why not Monday? Why not Sunday? Why not every day look slouchy? And I'll be switched if the most of the cultures already agreed that every day we're going to look slouchy. Isn't that interesting? I'm exaggerating to make a point. But at the same time, lift up the best. Give of your best to the master, not just anything, you see. The sense of pride, be proud, but don't live for other people's compliments. And then thirdly, pride in riches, idolatry of accumulation. All of us, without exception, are guilty of this in some way. Whether it be the car we drive, the house we live in, the books we accumulate, the records, the videos, all of that, we love to accumulate. And in this element of who we are, we can move into the realm of sin because it separates us from God. Notice, anything good can change to sin when it separates us from praising God. Anything. So much so that there's nothing intrinsically in this world that is intrinsically bad. That means in and of itself. Why? Because God created the world and said it was very good. The problem came when we human beings made choices that did not lift up God's name. So there we have it for Wesley. Be careful with the idolatry of our senses. Be careful with the idolatry of pride, praise of others, making a name for ourselves. Be careful with accumulation and control, because every choice we make has far-reaching accumulation. Many in our culture like to control other people. Have you noticed? Control of people. That's part of this understanding of sin. Always remember, it's not just the individual that gets caught up in it. It affects everyone. Our culture loves to shift the blame. To shift the blame to somebody else. I didn't do it. I remember Flip Wilson. Remember the devil made me do it? That was somewhat of a comedy, but shifting the blame is part of our culture. But also receiving punishment. We do not like to think of God as doling out punishment. If that is the case, we need to read the Old Testament and the New all over again. Because God is a just God. God is fair. But also God is loving and merciful. God has multi facets of his personality. And this is why we conclude our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is because we want our supplications to be interpreted to God Almighty through the medium of Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus Christ we find the ultimate revelation by God as to who God is. He who has seen me has seen the Father, but not all of the Father. Because God is those other things as well. But we want to approach God through Jesus because of what Jesus revealed about God. His good side, if you will. So then, in summation, on this Mother's Day, we thank God for our moms because likely they were the very earliest people to share with us the difference between right and wrong. We recognize that we can get ourselves into all kinds of problems when we start worshiping what our senses want, when we start worshiping praise of others, when we posture in order to get somebody to like us, and also when we try to accumulate. We are placing things between us and God. These things lead to the disintegration of who we are. Who owns you today? Does Jesus? Or does somebody in your family? Or does your boss own you? All of these things are called into question when one looks at the reality of sin. And if we continue in it, we live in hell. And if we die in it, hell is eternal. So our mothers taught us the difference. Let's thank our moms for starting us out on this quest for spiritual, physical, emotional health and blessedness. May we apply what we've learned early and often to our lives today, and always look to Jesus as the picture of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We have heard God's word sung, read, and preached. Now let us respond to our gift from God by giving back to God our tithes and our offerings. Always remember, 10% of what we have earned belongs to God. If we want to give God anything, it's the 11th, 12th, 15th percentile. So let us worship God with tithes and offerings. Thank you, O Lord, for the gift of money, our desire to earn it, to spend it, and to charge it. Thank you, O Lord, for this church and for the Christian movement everywhere, for it affords us ways to spend our money to glorify your name. Use these, your tithes and our offerings, to further your work here at this congregation and throughout the ministry and mission of the church as a whole. Amen. The hymn is "There's Within My Heart a Melody." We'll sing all of the verses. There may be those individuals who would like to come about the altar for prayer, others perhaps who would like to unite in the fellowship of the church. If you'd come as we sing this hymn, we'd be very honored to recognize your request. People of God, enjoy your salvation and be thankful. God is merciful, caring for all of us on every occasion of life. Go forth and follow Jesus.